Are you sure you want to stay here? It looks creepy.
But Savannah, this is the House of Mystery. Let's see, the brochure says true crime, conspiracy, alternate history, all rooms right here in the house.
I don't know, which room is ours?
Yes, this may be our room. Oh, well, sorry, ma'am. Obviously, this is not our room.
Oh, here's our room. True crime.
You've entered the House of Mystery on WXEI, the talk of Crestview, Panama City, Pensacola, Florida, with your hosts Al Warren, Kev Thompson, and Julie Saffron, and The Conspiracy Countdown with Dr. Joe and Stephen David Lampley's Crime Commentary.
I'm back my ignorance and bliss. I think Welcome back into the House of Mystery on KKNW 1150 AM Seattle. I'm your host, Al Warren.
And I'm Kev Thompson, coming from WXEI, the talk of Clearview, Florida.
Okay. We are back. It's been a day. And for everybody that's just hearing me back this week, yes, I got back from Hollywood alive.
Barely.
Severely beaten and hardly alive. But holy cow, what a...
Hey, wow, at least you were able to avoid Weinstein, right?
You know, he would have been good. That would have been a highlight. Are you kidding? My God, I have him, it would have been exciting. Anyway, and I know people are dying to hear about the book and the movie and all that stuff. And we will bring it all into you through the week here. I'll give you some feedback, some pictures, and some other things. I hope everybody had a great Easter weekend and got a little bit of relaxation in, if possible. I know you're busy over that Easter thing, aren't you?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Well, it's 7 days of Passover, so there's something going on every day, every evening of the week.
7 days of pass out.
I wish it was that easy.
Well, you know, now again, you know, we always like to have current affair as well as, you know, history and all sorts of conspiracy and talk. But we like to do it from, you know, a logical point of view. And we bring in scientists, we bring in everybody, you know, to talk about things. Now, someone that's been in the world in the last while, but in the last 5 years has really made an impact, has been Alex Jones and somewhat Roger Stone and people who I have a relationship with, and people know I'm not on their side, and I'm actually more and more against how they behave as time goes in. But that being said, you know, my major co-host here, Kevin, he's a complete fan and he's on the other side of it. And we still get along great. We're still best of friends. And it doesn't change our life because at the station here and for us, we believe that I'm not going to hate you because you are a conservative or you're into Alex Jones or if you're not into it or if you liked Hillary or if you liked Trump. I think the whole idea is we're not enemies. We're all humans first and then Americans.
Well,
and that's just the game, you know?
Yes, we believe that friendships can surpass politics or can surpass beliefs. You know, that's what makes us humans. You know, we meet each other at the humanity level rather than at the earthly level. Does that make any sense?
Oh, yeah. And so therefore, that's everybody that's been on the show. I think we've had some pretty controversial, but what we're trying to do here, and just... So, we're not here to attack and get into this big fight and do that with any of our guests. And people know I give this warning because sometimes we get some mail about it. And it's like, look.
Oh, boy, do we.
What we want to do is sit down with a person that has, they're in the spotlight for some reason. They have a concern or they have their thoughts. And I want to have a dialogue with these people. I want to sit down and just talk. Not, and we don't have to talk about politics or Trump of the day or whatever. We just want to talk, and I want you as listeners to understand this person, kind of go, well, where is this person coming from? Is he or she being real? Is this a real conversation that they're having, or are they just phony? So what we're doing is we're letting you as the listener decide, and I don't want to tell you what to think. I want to... just put on a dialogue with a person that's kind of in the news. And I'm thrilled to have her, actually. I'm really thrilled. And joining us in the sit-down room here, we've got Kelly Jones, who is Alex Jones' ex, which a lot of people heard about the divorce and stuff like that, made the news a while back and stuff. And now there's been a lot more... I don't know, things going on. And so I want to bring her in. Mm-hmm. And I want her to tell us, you know, like what's going on with life. So, Kelly, thank you for being here with us, first of all.
Thanks for having me on.
Well,
Kelly, welcome.
Yeah, we're really glad you're here, and please be comfortable. We're not, this isn't a big attack thing. So, now let's just first of all, you were married to Alex Jones for how many years?
I was with Alex for 15 years, and I was married to him for 12 years.
Wow! So that's a substantial relationship.
Yes.
How many children do you have with the two of you?
We have three kids.
Okay, so that's sort of set. Now, if you applied for a divorce originally about a year ago, was it, or two?
No, the big news story that came out in April of last year about the jury trial that happened, that was actually it was a suit filed by my ex-husband after divorce. So it was a suit affecting parent-child relationship, a custody suit. And so I actually filed for divorce way back in 2013, and I've been in something like, I don't know, 4 years of litigation coming up here, or I guess almost five now, yeah,
wow.
Four and a half. Including the divorce.
How old are your children right now?
So what I know people are interested in the kids, and what I've really tried to do is to keep them out of this as much as possible. But we have, you know, kids in all different levels of school, from elementary to high school.
So it's a very yeah, that's an age where people can really pick up a lot of things, isn't it? It probably can't be easy. Now, what has been your biggest concern, if we start at the top, with what's going on between you and your ex-husband now?
So, first of all, this lady just wants to air dirty laundry, and this is personal business, and, you know, what is she even talking to these guys about? But really, I first took them forward, because, and I'm very happy to do so, by the way, on your true crime show. What's going on and what's happened in the past with my case is really a very complicated and disturbing true crime story. It's a case of serious corruption in the county I live in, which is Travis County, Texas, with multiple bad actors and I would dare to say even conspiracy or collusion between bad actors that has resulted in me, first resulted in me losing custody of my kids for years off of lies and perjury that they've admitted. And then ultimately my kids are still in this situation because the law.
When you say that you feel that Alex has presented your children to danger, what are those dangers that you speak of?
Well, there are dangers that came out in court that include severe abuse, medical neglect, exposure to adult content, quasi-abandonment. So there are real concrete issues that came up and were put before the court.
Wow. Now, you said a mouthful there. Physical abuse, exposure to adult content.
I said abuse. I didn't say physical abuse, although there was some unreported abuse, however. That was not, I'm not contending that or alleging that that had happened at Alex's hands. What I said was abuse, and most of the abuse in this case is in the ephemera of being severe emotional or psychological abuse. But that abuse was shown, and that's the abuse that I tried my case off of, and it's evident. There's recordings and all matter of materials that show this to be true. So, and I certainly wouldn't say it if it weren't, because he's the most litigious guy on the planet. Serious abuse and serious medical neglect. Another problem I have when I tell my story is I can't really disclose my children's medical history and things of that nature. So, but I will say that it was, in some cases to me, it was life endangering and or possibly endangering. And, of course, additional to that was the exposure to things no one would want their kids exposed to. Substance abuse issues, I didn't bring that up, but it certainly came out heavily in court. And quasi-abandonment, during the divorce, there were periods, months of time that Alex was away from the kids, and yet still they couldn't be with their own mom, which is kind of hard to believe.
Let's start with this then. If you feel safe talking about this, well, let's talk about the medical neglect. I mean, seeing as how Alex's, you know, media empire is based on the sale of supplements and health supplies.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I can talk about what came out in open court, I'm pretty sure. And it was, I would say, like, not the most serious issue that my children have had to deal with. But my very young child had a broken toe. I mean, I know it's not the end of the world, but this child was really in a lot of pain and went for months without it even being treated or looked at, and everybody was like, oh, it's no big deal. Well, I took her, and, you know, she did have a broken toe. And this all came out in court again. So the other things I'm not going to talk about, because I am concerned about exposing my children more. And actually, I'm really scared to talk about it, guys. Can we not talk about it? Because I'm afraid he's going to sue me. I mean, you know, if I can tell you something off the record, I will, to show you that I'm being truthful. But I have to be really careful, because I don't want to get in.
We understand that, and actually, we will simply concentrate on what is on the record, because we here at the House of Mystery, we don't want to feel like we're hiding anything. So whatever you feel safe talking about, we will go in that direction. How about this? This is a little bit safer question. You're asking, you know, you talk about your underage children being on the show or being exposed to media.
I can tell you off the record what they've been exposed to, and your jaw will drop and you probably won't be as big fan anymore, you know, but, and you can, why don't you broadcast that part of it, you know, like, I'll just say, like, look, I can't talk about a lot of the real hardcore, you know, upsetting issues that are affecting my children, because it, exposes them to public scrutiny, and it's just highly disturbing. I mean, it's things, they're CPS reportable offenses, right? I can say that, like, very many of them. And CPS reportable concerns. And like I was saying before, I understand that, you know, Kevin is a fan, but I think if he understood what had come out in court, and the court was open during the divorce, but I was gagged from talking, so the media wasn't there to cover it. But if people really knew what had come out, I don't think he'd be having very many more fans, because it's really horrific. I mean, these are vulnerable little kids, you know, grown into older kids, but they're still children, who have been left in horrific, horrific situation. So.
Yeah, but certainly, Kelly, you can understand that me knowing something, that's fine. If Alex loses one fan, no big deal. If I quit buying Brain Force or the Red Pill, you know, that's one thing.
You might get a brain.
yes. But, you know, for the listeners, you know, I don't feel good knowing something that they don't know. So we can talk about something that all the listeners can understand.
Yeah, later
okay.
You can tell it. Later
that's
you can
fine.
Tell it. No, you could tell.
Okay, I understand. Well, I mean, what all the listeners can know that I have given to law enforcement is that there was serious aggravated perjury that happened in my case on both the financial side and on the custody side. I had a case that was bifurcated, questionably so, way back, you know, in 2014, and lies were said that resulted in me losing. I mean, Alex walked away with the majority of our finances and, you know, our future earnings and things of that nature. You talked about these supplements, and I think one thing that I can say that I've said before that should be interesting to everybody is that I actually really opposed the supplements. I felt like, you know, Alex and I at that point, and I was very outspokenly opposed to his sort of more hateful and disturbing content. I had really distanced myself from the content part of our business, whatever. But I said, no way do I want those supplements. You know, these businesses formed. I don't agree with that. And then behind my back, my own attorney, and I was a managing member of our company. I was 51% owner, managing member, or whatever it's called. Behind my back, my own attorney went and formed the supplement businesses with Alice's parents, who prior to the divorce were living in a one-bedroom pool house and now live in a multi-million dollar mansion. And they formed these businesses, which then they worked in a lot of our hard assets into. And so when it came time to split it all up, well, it wasn't there to be split up, number one, but again, there was additional perjury involved. In any case, I mean, Alex really doesn't have a background in the supplement business. You know, he saw that it could be lucrative and is doing whatever he's chosen to do. I find it highly questionable to sell people supplements off of fear. And obviously there's been reports that have come out about the quality of the supplements. I don't even get all that, but it's made him
I've heard that myself.
Profoundly wealthy.
Yeah. I've heard that myself.
I mean, he's so rich, right?
But a lot of, I will say that I've heard it myself, and I have a lot of, a question in those sort of things, but, you know, I'm finding that there's not just him, there's a lot of people doing this. There's a lot of, not
GNC. GNC is an entire company based on that.
Well, yeah, but you know, but as a personality selling an item is what I'm talking about. It's like Lucille Ball selling.
Well,
and face
selling
cream.
It off of fear. Yeah, using like, I mean, I think the Ebola thing was a big deal back in the day when they first formed it. You know, I mean, you do that and you segue into a water filter. You do that and you segue into this or that. I mean, it's a manipulation to frighten people into using supplements. I mean, I'm all about health and wellness. I certainly could pursue it a little bit more heartily myself. I've been pretty stressed, but I mean, I really admire the people that use motivation of, you know, this is for a healthy purpose or build yourself up rather than take this to, you know, be the most manly and to be the best positioned, you know, for the supposed impending apocalypse, right?
Yeah.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah. Plus, it has to
be
recommended by people. Like, I don't want people I like in TV and news and movies and music selling me something that's not their specialty, you know? Like, you know, Lady Gaga selling me something for my prostate. I mean, I want a specialist that deals with it.
Yeah, and here's the big problem I have with the supplements, right? So Alex is always on the air saying, in defense of free speech, and I'm doing this to fund my operation to get the word out, and I need this money for that purpose. Well, Alex filed in court against me repeatedly using the money that he got from the supplements. And not only that, you know, to take away my children, and I'm just this mama, you know, I mean, I'm not a perfect mom. I've done things that aren't great. I've done things that are great, you know, but I am a good mom. I'm an available, caring, loving mom. So not only has he filed against my motherhood, but he's filed to block my free speech. So actually my coming forward, which I purposely decided to do a couple weeks ago, is an act of civil disobedience, because right now in the Texas First Court of Appeals, I'm having to defend my free speech actively. And Alex has something like, I think his team of lawyers now is at 6 or 7, like, multi-million dollar attorneys. I have one attorney, and I am fighting for my free speech, for my right to speak openly on the air about whatever I want. And I think that America should understand that when they're buying supplements from somebody or giving donations on a free speech platform to a company that calls itself Free Speech Systems, that person that's at the head of that organization, Alex Jones, whose tagline is the First Amendment at its best, is actively filing against me in court to silence me. And he's not silencing me. He's not fighting to silence me to protect our kids, because his behavior is obvious that he's not trying to protect our kids, with especially with what he did last week, endangering our son, putting him on the air in the most highly charged topic in the country, right? He's fighting to silence me because he knows that what he did to me in family court is a complete illustration of everything corrupt and bad that he is about, and his abject and total hypocrisy, and you can see that alone in the appeal. I mean, why should I have to? He can say whatever he wants, and he's trying to stop being censored, but I can't you know, a mom can't get on the air to talk about injustice. I don't think so. It doesn't equate, right?
Okay, Kelly, you brought up Rex. Let's talk about Rex. You mentioned that he was on the air last week, and he was put there by Alex. Now, if I understand right, Rex is 15 years old, correct?
Yes, and, I mean, his name wasn't really out there before either. I mean, he is protected by court order. Like, his privacy is protected. Mm-hmm. So I hate to even really talk about him, but yes, he's 15. Alex is enjoined by court order from recording him for any purpose other than for family events. He is required to consult with me, the primary parent and joint managing conservator, on all legal and other such decisions. So he's completely did all of that without my permission, and I can't, like other things, get into why it's particularly endangering for Rex. But I think Americans can see how irresponsible it is to have a 15-year-old kid get up on the air and make instigative and incendiary comments on one of the most highly charged topics of the country.
Well,
and my son
sure.
is brilliant. He's a brilliant public speaker. I mean, I can tell you his demeanor is tragically different than it was, and it just seems to be an exact carbon copy of his father's. But it's exploitative, it's irresponsible, and I think it's horrific. I don't think anybody would want their kid up there. I mean, we're talking about David Hogg. He's 18 years old. You know, these kids decided as adults to come forward. My son is a minor child, and I am his mother, and I do not agree with what happened at all.
Well, David Hogg is up there simply because, you know, he is serving at the pleasure of our media right now. You know, he's encouraged by our media. But at some point, somebody has got to stand up to David Hogg, and your son has chosen to do it. Who's to say that he did not choose to do it rather than Alex putting him up to it?
Because my son...
I understand what you're saying.
Well, because you're not listening.
Well, first of all, I mean, Alex is able to convince. I have people, you know, person after person contacting me on my Twitter account, which is AlexJones_X, and telling me, you know, I lost my husband to Alex Jones. He started listening, and we divorced. And I know so many people. I mean, Alex is a highly persuasive mass manipulator. My children, I can tell you, when the verdict came out, my son was very different with me and very, I believe, relieved. I believe they felt like they weren't going to be in the middle of this anymore, and they shouldn't have been, but the judge acted unlawfully and did what she did. And so, no, I don't think Rex really chose that. I mean, I really equate Alex to a cult leader. I absolutely will come out and say that. I can tell you that I'm still in the process of becoming deprogrammed from my experience of being with him. I don't see how Alex's radical, white supremacist, incendiary calls to civil war, things of that nature, are really that much less of a concern than any other cult leader. I mean, we had, you know, David Koresh or whatever. I equate it to something like that, and I believe that what I showed the experts and the court throughout this case clearly demonstrated that beyond that which I can tell you. But no, at 15 years old, do you remember what you're like at 15? You know, your opinions are not yet formulated. I mean, if Alex is so hot to get my kid on the air, he should wait until he's an adult and can really make his own decisions. At this juncture, the child is in the middle of one of the most high conflict custody situations that there is in Travis County. And I think he saw it on the air. I know that the day before or the day after Alex first aired him, he said that I didn't want him on the air. So that is a clear manifestation of Alex telling my son that to defy me, to ignore what I want. That is the opposite of co-parenting. It's a manifestation of the abuse that I showed at court, parental alienation. It's disrespect your mother. Who cares? And of course, what kid in this day and age wouldn't want to be insta-famous or all over, you know, the media? That's what kids are about now. But my son didn't get to have that be about his real interests, science or physical fitness. My son told me, you know, Alex is super wealthy. And he said, you know, Mom, I just want my first car to be a Prius. And when I want to go to school, I want to work and make my own way. I don't want to get anything handed to me. And what that told me then was like, man, I want to be my own person. I mean, kids of celebrities or notorious people or whatever you want to call them already have a horrible overlay of living in the shadow of that. This child now has been put forward as the imprint of his father. I mean, yeah, it's very unhealthy. I know a lot of celebrities with celebrity kids, and I don't see any of those people doing that with their kids. It's horrifically irresponsible, and it's a terrible judgment as a father, and I think that many people listening to that already know that.
Now, when you bring this up to the courts, what do they tell you?
Well, I haven't yet had a chance to do that. All my finances were depleted by the custody battle. I have an appeal on file. I kind of feel like some of this activity, you know, it's all very complicated in the legal realm, but it's sort of a, you know, another distraction to force my one attorney to go deal with it. I mean, I'm actively, you know, seeking additional counsel and compiling facts, and I will take legal action. But, you know, legal things are very complicated. Even just to write a pleading takes some time. I don't have, like Alex has, I don't know how many teams of attorneys now. I don't have that, so I don't have the ability to jump forward right away. I have sent his attorney a letter. My attorney has sent his attorney a letter. My ex-husband is clearly aware that I oppose this. His acting unilaterally is not allowed by court order, so he's clearly violating orders. And it's, you know, there's clearly measures that need to be taken. I'm doing everything I can as a parent, just one person, no assistant, you know, taking dinner for my other kids while this is going on. So.
Yeah, it's an uphill battle, and you're up against a cult and a major cult leader. So, the one thing, okay, listen, I'm more on your side in everything you're saying right now. I don't think he has the right to do anything with your minor child, just as it is his minor child, without both your permission. I'm not even taking sides. I'm not even going to talk about the history. Two parents have to decide what happens with the child. And Kevin's assessment on Hogg is totally irrelevant to the conversation, because that's not what we're talking about. The other thing is, but the thing that still stays with me the most is, you were with this man for a long time. You were married to him and had three children. When was the first time you actually felt that he was, as you would say, like a cult, or he was like a David Koresh, or he was doing things that you didn't like?
I mean, I think from the very beginning, you know, I've tried to explain to people, and I've really come out and laid it out pretty much straightforward. You know, I met Alex at a vulnerable time in my life. I had come back to Austin. My best friend was dying. And Alex is a powerful, manipulative narcissist. And there's boards all over Facebook and Twitter about, you know, leaving a narcissist and dealing with a narcissist. I mean, I was targeted and groomed by an extreme narcissist at the beginning of our relationship, was very adoring and you know, almost bizarrely so of me. And I married him because I felt that I had to, and that's all I'm going to say about that. And I tried to leave him all the time, and it was a cycle of domestic violence. And I really tried to get out of that relationship. I did. I filed earlier, and I just really unfortunately stayed in far too long. I mean, Alex did constantly threaten me that if I left, I'd never see the kids again, which has turned out to be, unfortunately, very prophetic, or was for a long period of time. And, you know, just really, like, heavy coercion and the regular tactics that are involved in domestic violence, you know. So that's the sad truth. And it's horrible. Also, like, in my marriage, and you can just verify this by watching his show, which all his big fans, you know, think it's great, I guess, that a father would be on the air if he boasted regularly, you know, 12, 18 hours a day, that he worked all the time, that he was, and he was literally, like, many times just not around that much. And so when he was around, it was terrible, but if you only saw him, I don't know, a couple nights a week and then maybe a few hours on the weekend, I mean, it made it less, I guess, urgent, or I, of course, should have had more of a wherewithal. I mean, I was also very isolated. He made me homeschool the kids. I had and my kids were on swim team and they had a normal life. They didn't have a completely bizarre life, but it was not, you know, what everybody else in America was doing, and lived out in the country, you know, on a lot of acreage, not in a neighborhood. So it was really a systematic separation, and I still see that going on in my kids' life now with what they're experiencing in many ways. So
in their public life, they have to attend or deal with being who they are. I mean, they're not in a school where people don't know who they are, right? So
yeah, there people definitely know who they are, I would say. I mean, I think they're hopefully in a environment where it's a little bit more sheltered than it might otherwise be. But yes, I mean, and now I'm sure my son, when he walks down the street, has people either hating him or loving him or egging him on or actually just saying those horrific things to him, which just breaks my heart. I mean, how does a 15-year-old is forming their identity as an adolescent is like the hardest time, right? So how do you even process that? Why do you have to process that with the overlay of your parent? It's wrong. It's like, okay, imagine you're a car salesman, right? And all of a sudden you're like, well, my son is the car salesman of the year, and here he comes, and he's going to sell you this kind of car, and this is the only car he cares about. I mean, even that is questionable, right?
Yeah.
Because the kid didn't decide that he, I mean, how many movies are there about, like, I don't want to be a tradesperson like my father. I want to be an artist. I'm in love with you because I love you. You know, it's just a typical theme in humanity that people deserve the right to live out their future with autonomy, to realize their own dreams, not to follow through on the dreams of their parents or the hate or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally understand. Where do you see yourself going now? Like, what's next? Like, what's the next point for you? What are you after now?
Well, I don't know if you guys are going to be able to bring back in some of the things we talked about earlier, but I am actually very actively involved in trying to expose the real criminal actions that happened in my case, because I know that once the Texas Attorney General or law enforcement has enough public outrage over what they allowed to continue to happen, not only in my case, but in others. So people that affected my case also affect others in my town. They take high payments. They refer to each other. It's just beyond corrupt. I mean, it's demonstrably corrupt. And so what I'm doing right now is I'm trying to raise public awareness about the criminal acts to get the Texas Attorney General to push for indictments to hold people accountable. I think the best thing that could happen for my family is for Alex to be held accountable, because instead of helping him in a highly charged, high-conflict divorce, these people empowered him to bully me and to gaslight me, and they didn't make him pursue any help at all, basically, like none. They had no concerns about Alex Jones. All the focus was on me. The best thing that can happen for this man is to have to sit down, take a long look at self, if possible, and say, whoa, I really am out of control. I really have gone way over, you know, mild, sometimes drinker into heavy alcoholic. Wow. I really have put my kids in jeopardy, and I really have horribly thrown them in the middle of a conflict that never needed to happen out of spite for my ex-wife. Because if he has to sit down and think about it, maybe his heart can have a change. Like, I'm not here, I'm not a hateful person, I'm not a vengeful person. I actually, the only thing I hate is that I'm having to do this, right? Mm-hmm. But I am responsible for bringing forward what happened in my case. There are real monsters, corrupt monsters in Travis County. I'm working on exposing them. And I'm also working on, there's tons of people that are affected with injustice in family court. And everybody thinks it's so boring or personal and it doesn't matter. But I think it's something like 41% of all first marriages in this country end in divorce. And so many people, there are hundreds of thousands of people out there who have experienced injustice, and there's a big community of them. And I believe that my case can draw awareness to this, you know, overreaching problem and hopefully effect real change. I'm developing a software for interpersonal communications between the parties and transparency with experts and attorney-client communications, because I believe that there's a better way to do this, to stop the conflict and to support people who are in a high conflict that they never asked for, to give them the tools to prove things up without having to go to tremendous expense and anguish, and to cut the conflict off at the knees by providing transparency between the experts.
So do you ever think that you and Alex will be able to resolve this peacefully? And I don't mean that you're going to go to war, but do you think there could be some sort of, I don't know, resolve to this?
Compromise, middle ground.
Well, so it is a war. It's a custody war, right? That's why I've launched CustodyWars.com. I am only the recipient of aggression. I am not the conflict conveyor. I have reached out to Alex to mediate so many times, to sit down at the table with me and to talk it out. I can't even tell you the countless times I've offered to do that, and he won't sit down and talk to me. I mean, it did come out in court, so therefore I can say it. Alex has a narcissistic personality disorder diagnosis. It's a tragic diagnosis. It's sad. I mean, something horrible must have happened to him to have him develop this personality disorder cover-up. You know, that's what I'm saying about my kids. Like, if you see somebody distressed, you don't know where they're coming from. I actually have empathy for Alex. I feel like he was just egged on, you know, just encouraged. But the narcissistic personality disorder diagnosis makes it impossible for you to have empathy or to be wrong, you know. And so, unfortunately, I often tell my friends and say, man, if I could just get him to sit down at the table and to show him, because Alex has said he's against corruption, but the people in my case, and he has acted with evident corruption, or I wouldn't be saying it on the air, right? Because Alex could end up losing everything I have left, right? Because he'll just see me into the ground. But I can say it because it's true. And so this optimistic personality that I have, like, oh, if only he could just sit down with me and talk it out. I mean, everybody's just like, man, give it up. Stop reaching out, you know, because it's not going to work. And it's evident to me that it's not. Alex is brutal to me when he sees me. He laughs at me and mocks me in front of my kids. He makes faces at me. I mean, it's just very, it's bizarre, abnormal, disturbing behavior, you know. And so, unfortunately, I'm not in control of that. And I just have to speak out to protect myself. I won a jury case. I spent every cent I had to get my kids out of a bad situation. I am primary parent by law, and yet I'm having to appeal unlawful orders that the judge issued. She's a biased, bad judge. Her name is Judge Orlinda Naranjo. She's under investigation in three other cases by the Texas Judicial Commission, not just mine. So this is real unlawful corruption. It's like if you could think of the worst thing to have happen to a mother or a father is to lose their kids, right? And it's like being cast as a murderer or cast as something so terrible that you're so awful that you need to lose your kids, right? That's terrible. That's just as heart-wrenching, maybe. I don't know. I've never been accused of murder or whatever, but it's just unbelievably, untenably horrific to have that happen to you, the scrutiny, the shame that you're missing your kids and you're trying to get your kids back, right? It's a frame. It is an unlawful, illegal, criminal gaslight frame, and I will expose it. It's coming out. I'm going to expose it all over my website, and I'm going to do that alongside a bunch of great men and women, mothers and fathers in this county who have been targeted by the same people. And there's going to be no gray area. These people are going to have to be indicted, or people are going to be, it's going to be, I don't know what will happen. It's time for the Texas Attorney General to act, and it's time for big media to cover the story. And because without that coverage and without great shows like yours picking up my story, in darkness and in secrecy, great corruption, true crime has been happening to children across Travis County.
Wow. I wish we had more time. Listen, we'd love to have you back.
This is a whole other show.
Yeah. To talk more as you go further, give out your information for the listeners, for the websites, and how you want them to reach you.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you for that. So my website is custodywars.com, and the main way that I'm really communicating information ongoing is on Twitter, which is where we met, Al.
Yeah.
And my Twitter handle is AlexJones_XEX.
Well, fantastic. I've really appreciated you being here and talking about things, and I know there's so much more to go. Again, let's set up another time. And thank you for being here.
Thank you for being patient.
Yeah, and thank you all so much for the opportunity. It's a super complicated topic, and I appreciate you bearing with me. I know it's also hard to stomach and believe that this could be happening, but you've been so gracious in letting me give my coordinates out. It's out there. I'm going to keep adding to it, and I sincerely appreciate you covering this with all my heart. Thank you very, very much.
Retro commercials.
Harvey, want anything special for your birthday?
Just a decent cup of coffee.
You're kidding.
I'm serious. Honey, your coffee's undrinkable.
That's pretty harsh.
Well, so's your coffee. You know, the girls down at the office make better coffee on their hot plates. Well, see you later.
And he didn't even kiss me goodbye. You know, if I could just make a decent cup of coffee, I could relax. So, relax. Why don't you try Instant Folgers? Tastes good as fresh perked. Good as fresh perked. I'll surprise Harvey for his birthday tonight.
Hey, great coffee.
It's Instant Folgers. Doesn't it taste good as fresh perked?
Better.
Better than those girls make at the office.
Honey, their coffee can't hold a candle to yours.
Instant Folgers taste good as fresh perked. Try it.
Now it's time for Dr. Joe's Conspiracy Countdown of the Week.
Okay, and we're back, and it's Easter weekend is over. And, of course, Kevin's with me, and let's see. We've got Joe on the line here. He's just ready to give us our after-Easter countdown. How you doing, Joe?
Very good. Happy Easter to everyone. He is risen.
He is. Well, okay. Good. So what happened during the rising?
Well, it was a quiet weekend for me, but apparently Easter was very busy in the conspiracy world, so I should have said the conspiracy theorists have risen.
Don't we always? Can't keep a good man down.
So I have a very interesting top three for the week, and I'll get right into it. So number three is actually true, but then the conspiracy theorists have taken it a little bit further. A NASA-backed study says that acid clouds on Venus, which are at 500 degrees Celsius, so very hot, may contain actual life forms. And what NASA was referring to was potential microbes living in these acid clouds. What conspiracy theorists say is that NASA's hiding the true life forms, which are alien civilizations living in these acid clouds.
So there are, okay, let me make sure I got this straight. There are actual beings, physical beings living in acid.
Well, it sounds like 1968, right? But it's
yes.
Not. This is a different planet. This is the planet Venus. And they're saying microbes. So it's very small life forms could be there. That's what NASA says. But the conspiracy theorists say, no, NASA's trying to hide the alien civilization in the acid cloud.
The domed cities.
Well, it reminds me of a Star Trek episode where they have the city in the cloud up above the, you know, they have the people working in the mines. If you remember that episode.
I absolutely.
So, all right. So that's number three for the week. That just gets us started. Number two, a little more interesting, and it's a riff off of Pizzagate that seems to still be ruminating out there, and it was sparked by Roseanne. As you know, Roseanne had a very popular TV show that just got brought back, and I think she had something like 20 or 30 million viewers for the
episode.
Wow. So Roseanne tweeted out support for Donald Trump, and she seems to believe that Donald Trump has been breaking up sex rings or pedophilia rings out there. So she thinks that Trump has been giving a bad rap, and she says that Trump has been breaking up these sex rings and provided some links as evidence of this. And the conspiracy theory is called The Storm. Which refers back to a Donald Trump speech that he gave a month back, where he said this is just the beginning of the storm, and people hypothesized that he was referring to breaking up the Democratic pedophile rings.
Well, he had some help from a storm, per se.
But I don't know. Maybe I lost it. Maybe I'm not thinking here. So why would Roseanne bring that up? Like, what's the tie here?
Well, that's what has everybody questioning, and I'm sure on our top three list next week we'll have some reasons why that might be. But for now, her character on the show seems to be a Trump supporter. But also, Roseanne herself, she has tweets out that seem to be favorable towards Donald Trump, which don't make a lot of sense if you consider that she is an avowed socialist.
Mm.
But I think what's going on here is that Roseanne isn't so much about socialism, it's just she has an outsider view of politics, and I think that has sort of bent her in Donald Trump's direction. So she seems to be a lot more favorable of him than other more mainstream Hollywood types.
Well, how about this, Joe? This is just a thought, since we're all just sitting here talking, that maybe it's because she is a Hollywood insider and she's sick of the garbage that's going on that, you know, we talk about and we make fun of and, you know, we make into conspiracies, but maybe she's just sick of it and has thrown her support in a different direction.
Well, that could be true. It's just the one part where that goes off the rails is that the evidence she has that Trump is breaking up these child sex rings is they aren't really child sex rings. They're doing a lot of stings with prostitution. And the vast majority of people that they bust are prostitutes and johns and pimps, but not the child trafficking or the pedophilia rings that are hypothesized about, you know, on the Reddit forums.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just strange. I don't see her jumping on a bandwagon for him or for the opposition for any reason, because, you know, in these climates, you can ruin your you know, who's going to watch your show.
I will. Well, and I don't even like Roseanne.
You see, but that's just what I'm saying. It's so, you know.
Well, I think the question is, would she be voicing support for Donald Trump if she wasn't playing a pro-Trump character on TV and if the show wasn't already doing well? I mean, those are sort of interesting questions.
Is she a method actor?
I think that's the right question to ask.
Well, there we go. I feel better.
Number one.
And number one goes back to the girther conspiracy theory. This week...
I like good girth.
Yeah, yeah. I'm taking this personal.
This past week, Jim Messina, who is a former official in the Obama administration, has cited with a new form of the girther conspiracy theory. And if you remember, the girther conspiracy theory was that the doctor of President Trump lied about his weight and height and health condition in order to make the president look more healthy and fit than he actually was. Well, the new part of that conspiracy theory is that that doctor, Dr. Ronnie Johnson, has been nominated to run the VA. And people are saying that the doctor must have lied about Trump's health in exchange for a position running the VA. So that's our conspiracy, number one conspiracy theory this week.
Wow.
I can't even say that I oppose that theory.
Sounds very real, right?
Hey, I hope that doctor is still in charge for my last year, you know, with the National Guard so that I can make my retirement.
Yeah, you'll be in great
shape. If he's willing to lie about my weight, heck yeah, I'm like 6'2 and a healthy 175.
Healthiest man alive.
Yes, until I reach retirement.
Well, Well, you can be whatever height and weight you want as long as you do your show on the radio.
Exactly.
True. And get Roseanne to back us. We're good.
Yeah.
I mean, this goes back to the idea that somehow we expect politicians to be appointed to positions based on their virtues and not based on some sort of inside horse trading. You know, and why would we be shocked that Trump or any president would appoint somebody who did them a favor, if indeed that was the case?
And why is that so unusual?
It's not. It's just with today's media that I will say is incredibly anti-Trump, that he can't do anything without it being part of some conspiracy. So,
yeah, but it keeps us in business, right?
It keeps the checks rolling in.
Now, speaking of conspiracy, ask Al. I have been waiting a couple, 3 weeks to ask you about this, Joe. I happened upon a conspiracy. It's not a new one, but it's one that I really think deserves a second look. And it is this, that each one of us with a Social Security number has an account that exists within the Federal Reserve.
Uh-huh.
And that if we have knowledge of said account, we can actually access that account to use to, you know, because we, as a citizen with this number, we have a monetary value. Have you heard of this one before?
Yeah, so this is fairly popular, and so there's a couple different strands of this, and some of it goes back to when we went off the gold standard. And some people say that you have an account with money in it. Some people say you have an account with gold in it.
Oh, boy.
Some people say that Nixon leveraged our lives when we came off the gold standard. Other people think that we have that we're somehow separate from the government and not subject to any laws as long as we know about this secret thing that you're talking about. So I've been actually contacted by prosecutors and by defense lawyers to have me come in and testify on cases about this, where people either have not paid their taxes or they've gotten arrested for something and they're going to claim that they are part of this redemption movement or something like this.
Oh, like sovereign citizenry.
Yeah, sovereign citizens. So a lot of this is very similar. But anyway, the people always go to jail, and they never get money, so. It could be true. Well, it's just that it doesn't seem to work out in court in anyone's favor.
Well, let me cross that off my list, and damn. No, but I'd really like to explore this a little bit further with you in our next conspiracy roundup.
Well, I'd be happy to talk about that. I do want to get this in before we go, though. I received a phone call on the drive-in, and unfortunately I had to hang up on the poor woman, but this is not an invitation for her to call me back. But she said that her ex-husband had joined the Illuminati and was out to get her. And normally I tell people to either call the police or to get some other form of help. And I would have told her that, but I was driving through heavy traffic. But emails are kind of better for me to deal with this sort of stuff than the phone calls.
Well, Al, isn't she scheduled for an interview here in a couple days?
Actually, yeah, she comes on at noon today. That's Alex Jones' ex-wife is on the show.
Oh.
So she may have been...
Well, if you thought divorce was costly, just imagine if you got divorced and then that person became an Illuminati overlord.
Oh, my.
I mean, just have that hanging over your head.
Yeah. Well, you see, this is where you need a good agent. That agent would have told her. When she phoned you and said to her husband, you'd say, well, speak to my agent.
Easy. Easy done.
Well, Joe, thanks again. Awesome.
Thank you. I'll see you guys next week.
Awesome. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, guys.
To find out more about our show, guests, or listen to a previous show, visit our website at www.somethingweirdmedia.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.